But I like this verse because it starts off with the word anyone. Anyone. And that kind of lets me in and it lets you in. Jesus said, if anyone. So I guess young or old, black or white, rich or poor, Manchester United fans and the rest of you, it doesn't matter who you are, everyone is welcome. It's an open invitation. And yet this open invitation is very conditional. There are three clauses that you can't escape. And we're going to think about what Jesus said. Really, I can say it reverently, it's a kind of bananas verse. Because you're welcoming people. But then you say, oh, before you follow me, read the small print. Read the small print. Because there's a price to be paid. So first of all, Jesus said, if anyone, so that lets us in. Anyone who wants anything to do with Jesus is welcome. But here's the small print. First of all, he said, let them deny themselves. Let them deny themselves. In other words, say no. Now, to most of us, that's very negative, isn't it? Say no. We like to say yes. But Jesus said, if you want anything to do with me, it requires you deny yourself. Now, I have a passion in life. I have several passions in life, for football, for sport, and for food, as you can tell by my figure. But one of my favourite foods is ice cream. And one of my favourite types of ice cream goes back to when I was a child, and it's called Fiennetta. Anyone still have Fiennettas today?
Yeah.
My tip is go to Iceland, you get one twice the size for the same money. Okay, Iceland, twice the size, same money. But Fiennettas are kind of, we used to call it posh ice cream. And we used to have it for pudding on a Sunday. And you can tell I'm a dinosaur, because if we didn't have Fiennetta, we had tinned fruit and carnation cream. That's for the days, weren't they? And then the war came and it was never the same. But Fiennetta, there was an advert on the television where a family sat round a table and they divided up the Fiennetta. And this never happened in my house because there was never a slice left over. But in the advert, there was a slice left over. And everyone looked at it and the punchline was, who will have the second slice? But if I was at that table, naturally I'd say, yes, please. Unless, of course, I deny myself. No, you have it. That's what it means to deny yourself. You have it. Now, that's very honourable, but I've missed out. Do we miss out when we follow Jesus? I don't think we do. Because when we say no to self, we're saying yes to God. Not my will, but your will. And when we do God's will, we never miss out in the big picture, in the long term. We might seem to miss out there and then, but only because God's got something better for us at his timing and in his will. So you have to keep on trusting. No to self is yes to God, and that is always, always positive. So short term, I have to make choices and decisions where it looks like I'm missing out, I'm losing. But long term, for my benefit and for my spiritual growth, I'm a winner. When I say no to self, yes to God. So that's the small print number one. Anyone is welcome, said Jesus, to follow me, but you have to come my way, not your way. You know, before I became a Christian, for about 6 months, I prayed what they call like the sinner's prayer. You know, if you pick up a booklet like this one, and there's some on the table at the back, I brought them with me. And they're very useful, and it explains what it means to be a Christian. And then there's a prayer in the back that you can pray to become a Christian. It's called the sinner's prayer. It's not magical, it's not even part of the Bible, it's just good intentions. But I would pray that prayer every night for about 6 months and say, God, come into my life. He never came in. And I couldn't understand why. I saw other people becoming Christians, but it wouldn't work for me. And then one day I sat down with a wise Christian person and I said, look, I said, other people can become Christian. It doesn't work. And he said, why not? And then I said, well, I've prayed this prayer, but it doesn't work. And he said, but have you decided to turn to God as well as say the words? Turn away from sin and turn to God, to repent. Oh, no. I wanted God in my life, but I wanted my old lifestyle. And I couldn't have both. And that night, I remember letting go of the old and turning to God, saying, Lord, I'll do it your way. And when I did it his way, hey, it worked. It worked. The Bible says we turn away from our sins and believe the good news. It's called repentance. No to self, yes to Christ. Here's the second bit in the small print. Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Take up his cross. I grew up in the Midlands, and in the city of Coventry where I was born, I used to have a girlfriend who worked for a company called GEC, and on a Friday afternoon I'd finish work early and I'd go and wait for her at the gates, because being young and in love, that's what you did. And next to the GEC was this Subway, and it was in the glamorous area called Spon End. There you go, Spon End. And I would stand by Spon End Subway waiting for my girlfriend to come out, and every Friday afternoon, as regular as clockwork, you'd hear that thud, 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 thud. And we knew who was coming, a guy called Paul. And we knew what the thud, thud, thud was, because he carried a great big cross like this, about 6 foot, and as he climbed up the steps, the bottom of the cross would bang on the step, thud, 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 all the way till he got to the top. And he'd walk out with his cross, and we'd all look away because we were all embarrassed, and he'd walk into the city. And if you said to Paul, Paul, why are you carrying a wooden cross? He'd say, Jesus told me to. He said, take up your cross. Now, Paul was a little bit simple. Jesus never literally meant you'd walk around with a giant cross. You might want to do it. I know people who do it as a witness to people, because people will stop and ask them, why are you carrying that cross? And it gives them an excuse to tell them about Jesus. But Jesus is talking symbolically, using pictures, not literally. Because Jesus said, take up your cross daily. And at the time of Jesus, if anyone picked up a cross, they never put it down again. They were nailed to it. So Jesus is really saying, if you want to follow me, you have to not only say no to self, you have to die to self. Following me is an appointment with death. The old life is gone and the new life has come. That's why I said this statement is bananas. It doesn't make sense. Who wants to die? We all want to live. But again, death to self is new life in Christ, which is far better. So Jesus said, if anyone, includes us today, wants to be my friend, wants to be my follower, my disciple, let them deny themselves, take up their cross. And then the third thing he said, let them follow me. Follow me. You ever play that game, Simon Says? Well, let's have a little game then, all right? Simon Says, put your hands in the air. Simon Says, put your hands on your head, on your shoulders. Right, you're right, you're right. Simon Says, hands on shoulders, hands on head. You're right, you're right, you're right. Okay, calm down. Oh, you're all out. Simon Says, hands down, game over. It's a bit of fun, but actually the Christian life is Jesus Says. If Jesus says, do it, with his help, you do it. And if Jesus says, don't do it, with his help, you don't do it. It's not a case of just keeping a whole list of rules or going to the right places. It's a case of obeying what Jesus says, as he speaks to our conscience and as he teaches us in his word. So Jesus said, follow me. Some of us like to race ahead and lead the way. Not a good idea. Some of us lag behind. But Jesus said, follow me. Three conditions on what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ. Deny self, take up your cross, and follow or live for me. And of course the question is, why should we do that? Well, first of all, Jesus asked us to. So in many ways, that in itself should be the one reason we need. But actually, Jesus did all three things for us. The Bible says, first of all, he denied himself. He humbled himself and became part of his own creation. And of course, every Christmas, every December, the whole world focuses on the birth of Christ. Because the eternal Word became flesh and he lived amongst us. He humbled himself. Can you imagine? The eternal God, the Son of God, who had the worship of heaven, all majesty, power and glory, laid it to one side and was born as a baby in a manger. That's humility. And yet the Bible says he humbled himself even more by going to death on the cross. He denied himself so that you and I could be reconciled to God. So Jesus says, likewise, you follow me. So first of all, he humbled himself. Secondly, he literally took up his cross. And there was a purpose, a reason to it. I love the old hymn, "There is a green hill far away." We hardly ever sing it these days. And it's often in the hymn book section as a children's hymn. But when I go into care homes and whatever, I often quote it because it just summarizes some of the reasons why Christ came. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. That we at last might go to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Hey, not by our good deeds and our good church attendance and all or whatever. But all our eggs in one basket, saved by him. Why? There was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. That's why he came, to die upon a cross. And he literally took up his cross. And the Bible, what I find fascinating in the Bible is the New Testament hardly dwells on the sufferings of Christ physically. Mark just says, there they crucified him. Wow, how succinct, how short is that? There they crucified him. But when you go back into the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, it goes into more the physical sufferings of Christ. The Old Testament tells us the pain he endured physically, but the New Testament tells us why. He himself would bear our sins in his own body on the cross so that we could find forgiveness. So he literally took up his cross. And then last of all, never cut your nails before you do a talk. Hey, he literally follows us. He literally follows us. The Bible says every day, every time we stand up and sit down, God takes note. When you brushed your hair this morning, God realized and noted how many hairs got stuck in the brush or the comb. And you're thinking, yeah, well, it's easy. You look at my head, it's like a billiard ball, no problem. But some of you have got a good head of hair, haven't you? But God takes note, everything you do. Years ago, let me finish this story. Years ago, I was in a fish and chip shop in Leamington Spa with a friend of mine called Phil Overton, who's a musician. And we got there about 11 o'clock. And in the Midlands, the chippies stay open till 11, sometimes even later. But in Leamington Spa, just the last orders, we go in to get some fish and chips. And there was a drunk in front of us. And he was well gone. He was swaying, hardly stand up. He leant on the counter and he said to the woman, he said, fish and chips. No, please. No, thank you. And the lady said, sorry, sir, we've got chips. We've got no fish left. We're just about to close. I don't want to offend anyone, but he blasphemed. He went, ah. Oh. And he said the name of Jesus in a horrible way. And then he said, pie and chips. And the lady said, sorry, sir, we've only got what's in the counter, sausage, fish cakes, and said, we've got no pies. And he blasphemed again. This time he went, oh, he said, Jesus wept. He said, what a dump. And my friend Phil looked him in the eye and said, Jesus did weep. And he's still weeping for people like you and people like me. Because he follows us. He sees the good we do. He sees the bad. Breaks his heart. He calls us to him. And when we turn our back on him, it breaks his heart. He wept over Jerusalem when he was on earth. And I think he still weeps for those who abandon him today. Don't turn your back on Jesus. He's following you. Wants to be part of your life. So this verse in Luke 9:23. Hey, why should I follow him? Because he follows me. Why should I take up my cross? Because he took up his cross. Why should I deny myself? Because he denied himself for me. And a God like that is worth trusting and can be trusted. Let's have a prayer together, shall we? Lord, thank you for such love, such commitment that we might be saved. Lord, in return, help us to assess our own stance before you and respond accordingly. Or we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to sing our final song.